On this morning, Brother John Cooper has studied and prepared a lesson entitled A Year of Grace. Brother John Cooper.
All night and all day, well, I said all day, I know the angels watching over me. Well, I said all night and all day, the angels watching over me.
Good morning, Lord's Church. If God's been good to you this year, say amen.
Amen.
If God has been great to you this year, say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't think God has been good to you, you're here. He's been wonderful to you this year. And say amen.
Amen.
I thank God again for giving me this invitation through the leadership here at Sandy Lane Church of Christ to present another lesson, and not just the lesson, but the last Sunday of the year. And those who may be visiting on the fifth Sunday of the month throughout the year are young people, including myself. Our young people present the Word of God, and they serve for God. Amen. Actually, our young people do it every Sunday. It's nothing new for them. Amen. But on the fifth Sunday, they take the lead. And they demonstrate how God's work through them. And you've seen that this morning, those who may be visiting. When you came in through our doors, we had our young ladies smiling and giving you a bulletin this morning, welcome you to come in. And as you came through, you see our young men ushering, allowing you to come in and have a seat and ready to worship. And as you came into worship, you've seen them leading our services through songs, through prayer, through scripture reading. Amen. And this is just an uplifting to be in their presence when you see God having them to grow and lead, because they are doing the right thing. Amen. There are a lot of young people in this world that are not doing the right thing, but we witness this day, the last Sunday of the year, of young people representing what God has in store for all young people of the world. Amen. Again, I not only just thinking our young people, but there are some hard-fighting soldiers in the congregation that work with our young people, and I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and sharpening them and getting them ready to be part of God's services or God's work. I don't want that to go by, because I appreciate the time that you spend. And then one individual, I have to say, who goes far and beyond is my wife, Sister Cooper. I just thank you, honey. I do not say that much, but while I'm here in front of all, I just want to tell you thank you for your hard work and putting up with this young fella that stands before the body. Without her, there will be no me. And I thank God for allowing her to be in my life. We have a message this morning. You notice I had Brother Hart come to you. He gave you a title, but he did not give you scripture. And I asked him not to share, or I told him I will share the scriptures with you this morning, because it's a story, it's a parable that we all are familiar with. But I think it's a lesson that each and every one of us can take going into our new year. And our scripture this morning will come out of the book of Luke. If you could turn with me to the book of Luke. In Luke 13, we will be reading Luke 13. And I'll be reading verses 6 through 9 with you this morning. Luke 13, 6 through 9. If you're there, everyone say amen. And if you're not there, God, grace is sufficient. He'll wait on you. Amen. The scripture reads, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth in the ground? And he answered, saying unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Also till I shall dig about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I bring the message to you, a year of grace. Amen. A year of grace. Another year has almost gone, and we are on the brink of another. What kind of year has 2018 been for you? Where would you place it on a scale from 1 to 10? 1 being the worst, 10 being the greatest. Maybe you would give 2018 an 8 or a 9 out of 10. In other words, it was a really good year. It was a good year because you had success at your job and your business, at school, good family relationships, new friendships. 2018 was a year that included a lot of exciting things. New challenges, tasks completed, a great holiday. Or maybe you rate it past year an 8 out of 10 on previous years, which were horrible years for you. Or maybe you would give 2018 a 5. It was another year, pretty much the same as any other year. Nothing very exciting happening. In fact, it was kind of dull and dreary for you. Just getting up, going to work, going to school, coming home, going to bed, and then doing the same thing the next day and the next day. Think back and check what kind of things that happened during 2018. Somebody may be thinking 2018 was a 2 out of 10, because it was a really dreadful year. Everything could go wrong that went wrong. The year included tragedy in your family, sickness, loss of friends, marriage problems, and kinds were just impossible, even death in your family. How could you rate this year? If you were able to have some part of the year over again, how would you have done it differently? Would you have shown more understanding, cared more, been more patient, less critical, been more supportive and helpful? As I reflect on this year and the past years, are certainly things that I wish I would have done differently. How about your relationship with God? Did that flourish and grow during 2018? Or did it just hover over, much the same place as it did previous years, or perhaps even went backwards. As you prayed less, heard less from God through His Word, worshiped Him less, maybe God didn't have a big part to play in your life during the past year. Somehow He just slipped into the background. You could well ask the question, how much did my life reflect the fact that I am God's child? Did I speak as God, as a child to God? Did I act with the love of God in my heart? Did I interact with others with the same love and forgiveness that Jesus has shown towards me during the year? As we stand on the threshold of another year, Jesus tells us this parable, brothers and sisters. It is brief, but the point is clear. Listen, Jesus says, a man has a fig tree and plants it in the vineyard. Apparently, it was common for fruit trees to be planted among the vines. 3 years later, he makes his way up and down the vineyard. He is looking forward to the taste of a ripe fig, but it seems that the fig tree still doesn't have any fruit. He calls to his gardener, and he basically says, hey, get over here. Why is this tree still here? It's taking up soil and moisture and space. Cut it down right now. Jesus got it. Why should that tree remain standing? Why should it keep taking up space, using up goodness of the soil if it's serving no purpose? What is the point of having a tree that should bear fruit but does nothing? Maybe you have had a tree in your garden that was a big disappointment, and you have laid it with an axe and dug it out of the ground, roots and all. Jesus' words, cut it down right now and stick a match to it. Imagine if Jesus said that. It would cut deeply. The owner has a right to be disappointed and angry at that useless tree. It's no wonder he wants to destroy it. But as we listen to Jesus' story, we know Jesus isn't just talking about the fig tree, brothers and sisters. He's talking about you and me. We are led to ask ourselves, am I bearing fruit? I keep sucking up the nutrients of the soil in which I've been planted, and when I'm going to show some kind of fruit to match the years I've been standing in God's garden and all the opportunities I have been given. Jesus takes a breath and continues, and he says, leave it alone for one more year. Amen. The gardener pleads, I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. And with that, Jesus in the story of the fig tree, leaving the listener to ponder generously the patience, the grace of the gardener, that they are stuck by the words of the gardener when he says, leave it alone. The word used here also means forgive. They know now that Jesus wasn't simply telling a story about a fig tree, but he was talking about God and the way he forgives us, even though we don't deserve his generosity and kindness. You see, God has given us some wonderful soil for growth. I have my young brother over there, and I'm going to have him turn to Colossians, and you do as well. Colossians 2. And read 6 and 7.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Amen. See, we are told you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now, keep on following him. Plant your roots in Christ and let the foundations of your life grow. Be strong in faith, just as you were taught, and be grateful. As God's people, we build our lives on Jesus. Our very existence, our day-to-day living, is rich in roots. There are the owner of the gardener who is looking for the fruit. God wants to see in us the kind of fruit that we would expect to see from someone who has been made new and holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. From someone who has been given a new life by living for Jesus. Amen. In 2018 draws to a close, we see all too well what has happened in the past, how our relationships haven't always been what we have would have could been. He has seen the arguments, the inability or generosity when it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation, the lack of gratitude to our parents, the disrespect to our children, the disconnection between you and the church and what God offers us through his church. Amen. He sees it all. As he has unfolded during 2018, much of our embarrassment. And he's forgiven it all. And we've drawn on that forgiveness. We've heard his words every Sunday as he say to us, your sins are forgiven. We've been assured that each time we come to the Lord's Supper, we've drawn to those riches, and still there's someone we haven't forgiven. Still there is that relationship that remains fractured. Still no words are spoken between you and the person to whom you have fallen out with. Still the anger wells up whenever you think of that person to hear his or her name. But what a magnificent God shows us. Amen. He really must think we're something special. What love that takes me and adopts me and calls me his child. Amen. That love of God is so precious to us, especially when he have cried out in despair, in pain, in need of reassurance that everything will be all right. But how many times has someone cried out for some love? We have been so busy enjoying that loving ourselves that we haven't heard a cry. It's true that there has been times when we really felt down, really alone. We spent restless nights in our beds, and the morning has brought no relief. And someone has helped us. They helped us by a telephone call, a letter, a word, an arm around our shoulders, that we've been uplifted. Amen. Perhaps a sermon or a devotion or a hymn or a song has reassured us and given us some hope. Amen. But how deaf we've been to the loneliness and confusion and despair all around us in this world. Give the tree one more year, brothers and sisters. The gardener in the vineyard said, the owner wants to chop it down. But the gardener isn't going to give up. He's going to dig around it. He's going to turn it over. He's going to give it new soil. He's going to give it some fertilizer. He's going to show us some more TLC and give us another chance. Isn't that typically the spirit of God? Amen. The soil may be brown, hard, barked, but he's not going to forget about us. He's going to send us some rain. There's going to be a change. The gardener is determined that he's going to see to it. Amen. 2018 is here. God has got us through the beginning, and he's gotten us through the end. Listen to what Jesus tells us. I'm going to ask my brother to read again out of the book of John, John 15. Listen what he tells us. John 15, and he's going to start reading at verse 5. John 15 and verse 5.
I am the vine.
I am the vine.
You are the branches.
You are the branches.
He that abideth in me,
uh-huh,
and I in him,
mm-hmm,
the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
You can do nothing. Continue to read, brother.
If a man abide not in me,
mm-hmm,
he is cast forth as a branch,
uh-huh,
and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
They are burned. Amen. Keep reading.
If ye abide in me,
uh-huh,
and my words abide in you,
amen,
ye shall ask what you will,
uh-huh,
and it shall be done unto you.
It shall be done unto you. Continue to read, brother.
Hearing my Father glorified,
uh-huh,
that ye bear much fruit.
Yes.
So shall ye be my disciple.
Amen. Keep reading.
As the Father hath loved me,
uh-huh,
so have I loved you.
Uh-huh.
Continue ye in my love.
Continue ye in my love. Look at verse 10. Read verse 10, brother.
If ye keep my commandment.
If ye keep my commandment.
Ye shall abide in my love.
You shall abide in my love.
Even as I have.
Even it has kept my what?
Father's commandment.
My Father's commandment.
And abide in his love.
And abide in his love. Amen. Jesus is that example. Jesus loves us. Jesus is the vine. Amen. And we are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit. For you can do nothing without me. The key is to be connected to Jesus. Amen. He is the one who can enable us to be what we ought to be. We need him to help our branches bear fruit. Without him, we will rate each year pass far below 5 on that scale we talked about, 1 to 10. Amen. Every day we are inclined to what to break the relationships that God has with us and to turn our back on the way he wants us to be as his children. We are like the fig tree that falls to produce good fruit. Thank God for the patience of grace. Amen. Jesus give himself for us. He becomes the manure, the fertilizer for us as he's rejected and laughed at, crucified as a criminal, on the cross, nails in his hands. He waters the ground with his blood. Amen. He does everything and we do nothing. We simply trust in his grace. In God, in Christ, we are made beautiful as fruit gardens. Amen. Let me demonstrate what I'm referring to. I just want to use one of our young people, Jayla. If you could come in front here. I'm putting her on the spot, but I know she's a hard-fighting soldier. My beautiful Jayla. You're going to turn around and face everyone. This is our tree. We got to go around her, right? Continue to fertilize her, give her what she needs, love, support, right? Encouragement as she grow, she's going to get stronger. She's going to get more committed to who? She's going to be about who? We continue to go around her. Are we doing any chopping down? Are we doing any tearing up? Are we digging her out of the ground? No. Have a seat, honey. I'm going to ask my daughter Rachel to come forward at this time. I got her on the spot. That's good. I'm going to ask her to stand here as a tree. 18 years later, we're going around still. Fertilizing. Putting new soil. Encouraging. Supporting. Being in her life. Branches are starting to come out. We continue to support. Love. Now that we see the branches, when they get older, we can give them that hug. Thank you. We need to do this with not just our young people, but with ourselves. Jesus does that to us. We're that tree. He continues to build us up. He continues to support us. He continues to give us the nutrients that we need. The parables about the fig tree make it quite clear. That's been unfruitful, unfaithful, yet in spite lack of fidelity. God is faithful. Be sure of this. Jesus waits for us. He puts his hands out. He puts the wheelbarrows on his side. He's ready to give us what we need for 2019. That's a promise. On that promise, so we can step forward into the new year. Be ready to let him do the work in us only that he can. Let's not try to build ourselves up. Let's let Jesus build us up. 2019. I thank him for his goodness and his giving to each and every one of us, because by him, his grace, we would not be here this day, this Sunday, to hear his message. Amen. If you are a Christian and you haven't been living according to God's holy and righteous word, God's grace is so sufficient. He's going to give you the opportunity now to come before him, Ask for forgiveness. Repent. And he will forgive you for those sins. If you are a Christian and you need a prayer, you feel like you're not burdened, bearing the fruit that you need, come before the Lord. Ask for prayers. Ask for nutrition. Ask for support from God. And even better, if you are a visitor, you are visiting with us for the first time, and you haven't heard such a message, God's grace is sufficient. God has a plan for you, the plan of salvation. There's five steps in that one plan. And first is, did you hear his holy and righteous word? By hearing, John 6:45 is the first step of God's plan of salvation. Now, did you believe in what you heard? Believe in what you hear, which is Hebrews 11 and 6. And if you heard and believe, then you will repent, which is in Luke 13 and 3. And then fourth step is confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Matthew 10 and 32. And then lastly, to complete God's plan of salvation, all you have to do is be baptized. We could do that right here today, right now. The water is ready. Acts 2:38 is saying be baptized. Not sprinkle upon. Not water doused on your forehead. To be baptized. To be dipped under water and brought out as a new child of God. Amen. If you are visiting, you want to do that. I urge you to come down to the front at the time of invitation, and we can add you to God's church. Once you complete those steps, you'll be added to his church. God will forgive you of all your sins, and then he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit that you can live your life according to his will. As Jesus said, if ye keep my commandments, I abide in your love. Amen. I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. We could do the same that Jesus has done. I ask that you come at this time as we sing the song of invitation to come. If you want to repent to God and ask forgiveness, or if you want to be put on Christ, at this time, come as we sing.
Come from the lonesome way of sin, hide you in the blood of Jesus.